Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already November 21st and 22nd, depending on when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on Saturday, the 21st, of course, today is also the Granite State baseball dinner, so it's still time to buy some tickets. Go on to the New Hampshire Fisher Cats website. 5 to 7 at the Radisson Hotel Expo Center. Program starts at 7, but if you're into autographs, our featured guests will be there from 5 to 7. And this year, in addition to the erstwhile Chris Carpenter, who comes every year and is a great ambassador for New Hampshire as well as for baseball in general, we have Cecil Fielder. That is Prince's dad. And, of course, he slugged 319 home runs over his 13 seasons, including a 51 home run campaign in 1990. This was pre-steroids, when there literally was only a handful of people in the whole history of baseball that had ever hit over 50 home runs. And of course, in the steroid era, there were a lot more that came into that category, but he was legitimate. Also, El Tiante, who I believe should be a baseball Hall of Famer. He's a Red Sox Hall of Famer. In 1968, the year of the pitcher, his earned run average was 1.61, and he had many great years with the Red Sox, including one year where his earned run average was 1.91. Jackie Bradley Jr. will also be there. Then we have local favorites as well. Greg LaRocca, former Manchester West star who became the school's only player to reach the major leagues. And we also have Rich Gedman, Bob Stanley, who was a pitching coach for the Fisher Cats. And we have Muji Karim, who's a former UNH running back who lost both legs in a car accident and is now a Paralympics sprinter. So go on to the New Hampshire website, New Hampshire Fisher Cats website, and you can get the information. But it does start at the Radisson. It is at the Radisson and starts at 5 o'clock. A great, great take. I also want to put a shout out and thank my family at Northeast Delta Dental. Last weekend, we put on a great race for Frank Donovan. Frank was the gentleman who really got me involved with the community, and without Frank, probably wouldn't be doing radio, probably wouldn't have done Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, wouldn't have sponsored many road races. But on November 14th, in his honor, we put on a great road race at 2 Delta. Many of my running friends attended, and it was just great. His daughter was there, his grandson, his son-in-law. It was just a great event. So in the spirit of oral health, though, my real job with me this weekend is Dr. Mitch Curray, who has been with me, working with me for 20 years at Northeast Delta Dental's headquarters here in Concord. Mitch, thank you for joining me on the 21st and 22nd.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Very good. You don't see enough of me during the week.
My goodness, I tell you, I can't believe the 20 years has gone by so quickly.
It has. So yes. Tell us, just to kind of level set the audience, why don't you, in addition to describing what you do at Northeast Delta Dental in terms of being the chief dental officer, why don't you describe your role as a practicing, active, participating dentist, and then our theory in terms of why that's important for your role at Northeast Delta Dental.
Hey, Tom, I'll tell you. It's interesting to me that the two really overlap. If you take a look at the values that Northeast Delta Dental has, and that's integrity, communication, quality, and teamwork. Those are the four things that actually permeate a dental practice also, mine in particular. There are some best practices that I'd like to go into. And before I do that, I'd like to perhaps bring the listening audience into a place where most people don't even maybe know exists. In the dental business, there are study clubs. Okay, now wait a minute. We're not knitting. We're not playing pinochle. This is a serious endeavor. This is where people who are like-minded come together.
And this is part of continuous improvement, continuous education.
Yes, it is.
Well, describe it for us, please.
Sure. And people think it's just a social get-together, like, you know, football, chips, and salsa. Not that the Pats didn't surprise us the other night at 27-26, but it's certainly about that. But there's the education.
Are you referring to the 54-yard field goal?
Can you believe that?
On the Sunday night?
That was great. Oh, my God, that was wonderful. And but there's also the educational aspect. And, Tom, the reason for that is to really improve patient care. So do we take courses together? Do we do our continuing education? At NED, we call that continuous improvement. I'd like to give you an example of what that looks like. We just came back from the American Dental Association, this group, and at its annual meeting, there was a process there that might someday replace dental x-rays. That's right. You heard it right. You heard it here first. It is very, very new, but it is an outstanding development. I'm not sure that the listening audience is aware that there are a lot of x-rays taken in a dental office for very good reasons for diagnostic purposes. What we also know is, wouldn't it be great if we had another way to do that without that exposure? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's here. It's called transillumination. That's right, transillumination. That particular process has a very powerful... All right, let's do it this way. Make believe that you have a very powerful flashlight, and you could put it inside your mouth, and it would actually show you all the layers of the tooth. Huh? How about that? Well, as a dentist, I'm kind of excited about that, because with the transillumination, this small light, a laser essentially, you can actually see where the decay is without an x-ray.
So pause here for a minute and tell us, though, that, you know, x-rays taken in moderation, radiographs or whatever, that it's not a bad thing and it's a needed thing, because I know there's a lot of press on that. So we'll get to the flashlight again in the ADA conference. But let's get to the basics in terms of the frequency of x-rays.
Sure.
And why that's necessary. And then you may also want to talk about amalgams as well.
Sure. Well, on the x-rays for a moment, Tom, it's true. We need them to be able to diagnose correctly. And it depends on when we need them, how we need them. And they work just fine. And the exposure in terms of x-rays is very limited compared to other x-ray technologies that are out there. Mammograms is an example. There's no doubt that in the children in particular, we want to take a look and we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing by them. One of the things is that the data out there about x-rays says that you can only have so much in a lifetime. That data is being challenged today only because the children of today are going to live into their hundreds. Yeah, that's right, in their hundreds. And
I think you have a good shot to live to 100, because didn't your mother live to 100 or pretty close?
Yes, she sure did. And
but you don't look a day over 30 now, Mitch, just to let you know.
You know, I'm glad that people can't see me on the radio. Anyway, I just got to tell you that the other piece is this. Boomers in this room, I see you right in front of me here. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, you can't see them. But Tom is a boomer. And Tom, you've got a shot at living at least into your 80s. Are you aware of that?
Yes, and my mother is 89, so, and she's in good health, so hopefully I take after her.
My goodness, are we going to be working together that long? Anyway, I'm just kidding.
Well, so there's my kids never stop going to school, so probably so. But finish up on the x-rays.
Sure, let me finish up on that just a little bit. There are, if you're interested and you're an internet person, there are parameters that you can actually see as a consumer. And this is a group called X-Ray Gently. And X-Ray Gently is an internet setup that actually gives you some idea of when you should, how you should, where you should. And it also is about children. Now, for people who are of Tom Raffio's age, there is also an internet group, and it's called X-Ray Wisely. because, again, our whole life is going to be much longer than we ever expected. Tom's got folks in their 80s. I've got my mom almost 100. And I've got Pierre Guettard, don't you know he's French, in 1958, who died at 102. Can you beat that? Thanks, Pierre.
Okay, so x-rays in moderation and when appropriately and strategically done, you know, by your dentist or hygienist is fine. What about, we hear a lot about amalgams and mercury. Can you give us 30 seconds on that so
sure.
people don't get alarmed with that?
Sure. The amalgam today is about as safe as it can possibly be. The ADA and so forth has extensive information on that. The mercury piece, because it's actually part of the amalgam, is a chemical substance, and it can't be broken apart. A lot of people are doing, as I am, you know, the clear fillings, the resin fillings. Each one of the filling materials has its own problem. Resin fillings themselves have a tendency to expand. The amalgam itself has a tendency to contract. So in each case, the tooth is challenged at some point. Here's the best idea. Don't put fillings. Use, whenever possible, other alternative and more preventable methods like sealants.
And after commercial, I'll ask you to describe sealant, but I think Mitch's pitch there is very important for parents out there, you know, with fluoridated water, seeing your dentist, you know, twice a year. But as we'll talk about after the break, we have a new program called Health Rural Wellness.
Yes.
And for some of us, maybe we need to see the dentist three times a year, for others once. But on average, twice a year is fine. That if you get your child to the dentist twice a year, you train them to brush and floss, and you have access to fluoridated water, then your children won't have caries, cavities. And as Mitch will tell you, again, after commercial break, once the progression starts, first with a filling, and then it becomes a three-surface filling, and then later on in life, a crown, it is costly, and it's never-ending. Whereas if you don't have the problem in the first place, you're okay. So with that, we will return with Dr. Mitch Curray and Tom Raffio after commercial break. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Dr. Mitch Curray on the 21st and 22nd of November. And just as a reminder, if you are listening to this on Saturday, the 21st, it is the Granite State Baseball Dinner. And that starts with autographs at 5 o'clock. Mm. And the program actually starts at 7 o'clock for dinner. And we give out the Gold Crown Award. And it was interesting. That's the Northeast Delta Dental Gold Crown Award. And it was interesting because if you're a baseball fanatic, as I am, and you watch the playoffs, a lot of the Toronto Blue Jays were players that had gone through the New Hampshire Fisher Cats system, and many of them, several of them, were the Gold Crown winner. So it was good to see. So it's a great combination of raising funds for Chad Children's Hospital at Dartmouth. We've raised close to $1.3 million since the New Hampshire Fisher Cats rejuvenated the dinner in 2007. We also, some of the funds also go to the Fisher Cats Foundation and the Ted Williams Foundation. But today's show is on best practices in dental, and with me is Dr. Mitch Curray, who, as I mentioned, has worked with me at Northeast Delta Dental for 20 years. Has also been a practicing dentist for 45 years and just recently was accepted into a very prestigious, very small group of people in international college. Why don't you describe that award, Mitch, because that was pretty impressive, and you just received it. You keep referencing the ADA. That stands for American Dental Association.
Yes.
So tell us about that award that you got.
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, it's a very small group indeed. There's about 6,000 people out of close to 200,000 dentists. It's a humanitarian organization, and it has some basic tenets on life, leadership, and leaving a legacy. It looks at life and it says, hey, if you're going to make a difference, ask people to dare greatly. If you're going to make a difference as a leader, release people's potential. If you're going to leave a legacy, leave a better world.
And you're doing this as a dental leader, but also as an overall leader, that, you know, those aspirations are definitely noble. Well, I congratulate you on this.
Thank you.
So getting back to the nuts and bolts,
yeah.
So would you describe for people what a sealant is?
Sure.
Versus fluoride varnish, and then we'll talk a little bit about fluoride as well.
Let's talk about sealants for a minute. As a preventative dentist, I have for a number of years, as have the folks in the study club that I chatted about, we found that this is a way to put a coating on the tooth and actually arrest the decay. Once you touch a tooth for life, this is just a saying in the dental business, okay? Once you touch a tooth for life, once you touch a tooth, you touch it for life. Now, Tom was saying earlier that there is like a filling cycle, if you wish. Once you put a filling in a tooth, as Tom suggested, it goes to a bigger filling. It can become a crown. Oh, and I don't like to say this word, but it could be a root canal. Let's not discuss that. Let's move right on.
Except root canals these days for our good friends who are endodontists actually is not so bad, right?
It's not so bad, actually, yes. But people don't like that. You don't discuss that at lunch with your best friends. Anyway, so that happens, and sometimes the tooth is lost. And in that cycle, what's the next thing you do? Well, the marvels of implants since the late 80s and early 90s, that's of the last century, those implants actually work marvelously well. But, you know, if you can keep the tooth for a while, somebody a whole lot smarter than you and me has put it in place. So just a thought on that. As far as the fluoride's concerned, well, I'm a grandfather, and I have great-grandchildren also, and I have seen fluoride varnish actually do wonders for them. The fluoride actually gets to stay on the tooth longer than it ever did before. And where you have in a very small child, because we're treating children a whole lot younger these days, one-year-olds, that's when we start to see them. And some of them, because of baby bottle syndrome, which essentially is moms leaving the bottles in the crib with them at night, all of a sudden we start to see decay on front teeth. And we can actually arrest that with fluoride varnish. So that's the thing I wanted to bring to you, Tom, about the fluoride varnish and how it prevents decay, especially in small children, where as a practitioner, even though I love children and I've worked with many of them, I have to tell you, it's difficult when you have to work on them. And why not use a preventative measure like fluoride varnish to assist them so that they don't have to go through that particular trauma?
Now, let's pause here. You mentioned the one-year-old because, of course, when I was growing up, even when we started to have kids, there was some notion that, you know, like 4 years old. But I just want you to clarify, you know, and Dr. Randy Tillman has talked about this.
Sure.
So you really want to get the toddler into the dental office either by age one or certainly when a tooth erupts. So let's talk about how that science has evolved.
Well, the thing is that we started to see that for whatever reason, because some people are more susceptible to decay than others, we started to see that a younger population in the U.S. of A. and internationally, that those young people start to get decay for whatever reason. It could be that they're just prone. And if you can get them in early enough, you can do preventative methods. So early childhood caries is something that we have seen, and we are trying to prevent that with preventable, with easy to do, and not get into fill, drill, and bill. That's what we're trying to do.
And I know you wanted to touch base on the physician-dentist sort of integration and communication now, but there's a lot better communication between the dentist and the pediatrician nowadays, correct?
That's absolutely true. And there's actually referrals that are starting to happen. I can tell you that I have worked with physicians, not just because somebody needed to have a knee fixed or anything like that, but there is a communication that is starting to occur. And there are actually, if you wish, referral forms that are used between the dentist and the physician. Some of the things we're seeing first, because sometimes people come to the dentist first, we're starting to see things like diabetes. It's amazing how some of the signs and symptoms are clear. The diabetes piece, we can actually do a screening in a dental office today and actually then refer that individual to their PCP and actually get some action so that they can bring that under control. We're also doing blood pressures in the office. And as such, we're watching that very carefully. And there are some data that has been telling us that, you know, if it's over this much, do you really want to treat this patient in your dental office unless that blood pressure is under control? Because we're looking out for the patient. They're number one, and we want to be for them a healing presence.
So we'll get into some other best practices, but before we do that, would you talk about fluoride? I mean, I know there's still some, I don't know, out there people that think fluoride is a communist plot or something, but fluoride, of course, has the best thing ever for oral health. Every legitimate scientist, every dentist, every dental insurance company executive would agree with that. And I think we're having our 70th anniversary of fluoridated water in America.
Yes, we are.
So would you talk about fluoridated water?
We should be so proud of that, Tom, because the number of people, Randy talked about early childhood caries, and we just made mention of that just a few minutes ago. Well, one of the reasons why it's under control to some extent is because of that. I know there are people out there, and they have their opinions. All of us have a nose, so therefore we all have an opinion. But the bottom line is this. What if you have one of the finest, and this is my opinion, one of the finest public prevention systems called fluoride, and that has been influential and shown to decrease decay? We've seen it. It's just incontrovertible. As far as evidence,
I love when you use big words, and I just speak for my own kids. I mean, I didn't grow up with fluoridated water, and I try to take care of my teeth, but I definitely have fillings in my mouth. I have four children, and none of them really have any caries, any cavities, because they had fluoridated water and/or access to, you know, fluoride pills, whatever. And so, as you said earlier, and as I alluded to, if you don't get fillings, then you're not going to have that inevitable progression from a, you know, three surface filling to a four surface filling, to
all
a,
the way on up
to a crown to
an
implant and in between there a root canal.
Oh.
So anyway, so it's the 70th anniversary of fluoride, and hopefully
yes,
there
is.
Won't be any more those controversies around.
I'm afraid that's going to be forever. You know what? We live in the United States of America
and New Hampshire. Live free or die. I know.
Live free or die. And you know what? As I said, everyone has an opinion because everybody's got a nose. Think about that.
We got it. So we have about 2 minutes left. So maybe talk about some of the best practices that you use in your dental practice. And I may ask a curious question I've always wanted to ask a dentist when they say they've been practicing for 45 years. You're doing more than practicing. You're an expert dentist. So we're going to change the name, I think.
Yeah. Not only that. I'm really tired of practicing. I just want to get it right.
And you do. Mitch is a tremendous dentist.
Hey, tell you.
But we got about a minute. So why don't you tell us about some of the best practices in your office.
I just want to leave six best practices with you. Because if you have these at the end of the day as a dentist, you are fulfilled. If you can be this for your patients, for the people that you work with, whether it's Northeast Delta Dental or whatever your communication may be with other individuals.
All right, 10 seconds on each one of the six.
Okay. One, be a healing presence. Two, be a humble servant. Words are important, however, silence is profound. Trust, honor your staff. Do not be afraid to ask for help. And when day is done, do your dance and retire in peace.
But you haven't retired yet, Mitch.
Not yet.
I want to give Mitch a real big shout out. He's been a great ally at Northeast Delta Dental. And I mentioned earlier that one of the reasons why he continues to practice is that as an in-house chief dental science officer for us, we want to make sure he's out in the field still practicing, because any public policy, any policy decisions that we make at Northeast Delta Dental, we want to live by them. And of course, Mitch.
And I love it.
And he loves it. He's also helped us with the Health World Wellness Program.
Yes.
Again, Heather's been here, Mitch has been here, and Randy has been here on this. Go on the healthworldwellness.com website. That's all one word for more information. So with that, we'll return next week with more of Northeast Delta Dental. Thank you, Mitch, for joining me this weekend.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.